Welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working on this pre-recorded program via remote. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, August 9, 2021. Former rebels of the SPLM-IO, loyal to South Sudan's first vice president, blame President Salva Kiir for the slow implementation of the 2018 peace deal.
Of the president and the SPLM or the ITGONU in general to delay the graduation of forces is a tactic to drain the implementation of the peace agreement.
And thousands of families are affected by floods in Sudan.
We have been experiencing heavy rains in the past few days, and the tropical zone advances beyond the country's northern border. Therefore, we expect all kinds of violent weather events to occur south of the tropical zone.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The SPLM-IO is accusing President Salva Kiir of deliberately delaying the graduation and deployment of the unified forces to derail the revitalized peace deal. The South Sudan government spokesperson says the president is not to blame for delay in graduating the forces. For VOA News, Onen Walter Solomon reports from Juba.
The SPLM-IO Information Director, Fouke Balwang, told South Sudan in Focus in an exclusive interview today that during a workshop organized by the Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission and IGAD in Juba in May 2019, the parties to the peace deal agreed that command of the unified forces would be shared 50-50 prior to graduation and deployment of those forces.
We believe the refusal of the president and the SPLM or the ITGONU in general to delay the graduation of forces is a tactic to drain the implementation of the peace agreement. And you're well aware that the security arrangement is the core of the RCS.
ITGONU stands for Revitalized Transitional Government of National Unity, while RCS stands for Agreement on the Resolution of the Conflict in the Republic of South Sudan. Information Minister and Government Spokesperson Michael McQuay tells South Sudan in Focus it's wrong to blame Mr. Kiir for the delay in graduating the unified forces.
It is not the president who graduates them, but there is the procedures, there are mechanisms established by the agreement, and it is these mechanisms which are supposed to prepare and report to the president that these people are now ready for graduation. It is unfortunate that people just talk out of ignorance.
Balwang says the SPLM-IO wanted the forces graduated last year, but says a lack of political will has delayed their graduation. He also says delays in providing funds to support that training has delayed the exercise.
Therefore, we urge our partners to the agreement, and precisely the president, Salva Kiir, to accept the agreement reached by the security mechanism on the unification or the formation of the unified forces, one. Secondly, to dispatch the necessary budget to support and supply all the process of the graduation and deployment of the forces, and also to have a political will to implement the remaining chapters of the agreement. This is what will lead us to have a sustainable peace in South Sudan.
Balwang says it was the delay in graduating forces from cantonment sites that led some SPLM-IO forces to rebel against First Vice President Riek Machar. The SPLM-IO former Chief of Staff, General Gatwech Duol, recently declared he hosted Machar as party leader. But Machar's people say the First Vice President is still in charge of the party. McQuay says President Kiir cannot be blamed for the actions of SPLM-IO generals who are rebelling against Machar.
Gatwech Duol was appointed as a presidential advisor and he turned down the appointment. This was a very clear indication that he is not actually for anything other than what he has declared now. So the government is not a party to all that happened, And whoever turns the blame on the president, that is unjustified and is incorrect, because the president is not the one who told those people to rebel.
Makwe says the delay in graduating forces is due in part to the fact that forces of the SPLA-IO and the South Sudan Opposition Alliance, who entered training centers across the country, were not organized.
The problem is, how do you graduate a force in which, if there are 1,000, you get that over 700 are officers and only 300 are NCOs and no private. Unfortunately, the opposition is resisting that, and they want the reorganization to start from the top. Meanwhile, organization is usually a bottom-up issue, not top-down issue. They are supposed to be given the command in accordance with the size of their forces.
Makwe says the arms embargo on South Sudan is also a challenge to the graduation of the forces, but adds that a budget for training centers will be ready soon. Media reports indicate that hundreds of trainees have already abandoned the cantonment sites due to the challenges they face, including food shortages and a lack of medical care. For VOA News, I am Onen Walter Solomon in Juba.
The Council of Ministers of the Regional Bloc, the Intergovernmental Authority on Development, or IGAD, met in its 73rd Extraordinary Virtual Summit to discuss the political situation in South Sudan. IGAD's Special Envoy to South Sudan, Ismail Wise, updated the IGAD ministers on the overall situation in South Sudan and its implication on the implementation of the revitalized peace agreement. The IGAD ministers discussed how member states can intervene and the way forward. IGAD is expected to issue a communique on the outcome of the virtual one-day meeting held in Djibouti. The SPLM-IO infighting is likely to dominate discussions at the IGAD summit. The leadership of the People's Liberal Party says it is finalizing legal steps to stop Peter Mayen from engaging with any national, regional or international stakeholders on behalf of the party. Last week, senior party officials fired Mayen from the Liberal Party over what they call abuse of office and misconduct. The party's deputy leader says, together with other political parties, they have replaced Mayen as the umbrella group signatory to the 2018 peace deal. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wood reports from Juba.
Deng Ayoka Deng, first deputy chairperson of the People's Liberal Party, or PLP, says the decision was taken to ensure that Mayen never again conducts any official business on behalf of the People's Liberal Party, especially on issues related to the implementation of the peace agreement.
What we are doing now is to remove Peter Mayen Majungit as dignitary on behalf of the umbrella of political parties, which is represented by 10 political parties, inclusive of PLP. So these are the legal processes that we are following, ensuring that we are that our request for these amendments are considered by the IGAD and the RGM. And they will be considered because we have done our internal decisions within the PLP, within the umbrella, and within the OPP.
Last week, PLP officials and representatives of other constituent parties in the other political parties or OPP umbrella said at a joint news conference in Juba that Mayen was stripped of his membership in the party and sacked as the party's leader. Deng says the party's leadership has tolerated what it calls misconduct and abuse of office by Mayen and called him a liability to the party. He says Mayen's misconduct is affecting the participation of PLP and the other political parties in implementing the peace deal.
Making decisions alone in his house and then submitting these decisions that he made alone without consulting the leadership of the party and the OPP leadership, submitting these documents to say the NPT ATC or to the office of the president, okay, creating controversial situation like he did in May by appointing MPs that people did not agree with, number one. Number two, we are also seeing that he, in his own social life, he is doing things that are against the values and principles of the party. This includes domestically being violent within his family.
Last week, a relative accused Mayen of beating his wife, Aluele Garang, saying she was seen with the bruises on several parts of her body. OPP lawmakers missed the official swearing-in of MPs in Juba last week. OPP members accused Mayen of not cooperating with the other OPP constituent parties to nominate the required 30 lawmakers for appointment by President Kiir. They have also accused Mayen of making unilateral decisions on behalf of the PLP and OPP without consulting party members. OPP member Albino Akol Attack says the decision to fire Mayen was taken in the interest of implementing the peace deal.
We, the five signatories of the other political parties, hereby endorses the decision of umbrella of political parties to disown Peter Mayen as their chair, representative and signatory, and therefore together with the leaders of umbrella and PLP, we inform the public, parties and stakeholders to the RRCS, IGAD, RGMEC, and Grantas.
OPP members say Mayen has failed to promote the spirit of broad consultation within the umbrella and is therefore derailing full implementation of the peace agreement. Attacker says Mayen has sidelined party members and has made unilateral decisions regarding the implementation of the peace deal.
All along, he has been claiming to be a leader of OPP without being approved by this. And from there, he continued to take unilateral decisions, including the recent appointment made in the TNLA. And this is why, when these people went to the president understood and he revoked those wrong lists. This is a clear indication that Peter Mayen was actually working alone.
Mayen signed the 2018 peace deal as one of the representatives on behalf of other political parties, which includes the People's Liberal Party. He serves as the Minister of Humanitarian Affairs and Disaster Management, a position he holds as part of the power-sharing ratio allocated to the OPP. Efforts to reach Mayen for comment were unsuccessful, as his non-phone lines were all switched off. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudu in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, Sudan recalls its ambassador from Ethiopia. Find out why after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what would you most likely to accomplish in life, and how close are you to achieving it?
My dream is to be one of the best filmmakers in Uganda and maybe in the world at large. With time and what I've done so far to achieve that, yes, I know I'm still very far, but I've written some scripts already.
To me, as a software developer, I still have a long way. But hopefully, God, I'll be able to make it.
I want to be a voice for the people who I meet and help people generally wherever I find myself. And I think that studying to become a lawyer is in the right direction to achieving that.
I would like to be a very, very great musician, a composer. For now, I'm not close there, but I'm working to get to the level I can actually achieve that.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Reuters news agency reports Sudan has recalled its ambassador from Ethiopia on Sunday in protest over Ethiopia's refusal to accept Sudan's offer to mediate in the Tigray conflict. Reuters reports that Sudan's Prime Minister Abdullah Hamdok spoke with U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken on Wednesday about the conflict in the northern Ethiopian region of Tigray, which has led to an influx of 53,400 refugees since late last year. Hamdok, who is the chairperson of the Intergovernmental Authority on Development, also known as IGAD, offered to mediate in the Ethiopian conflict in Tigray, but Ethiopian authorities turned down the offer. The spokeswoman in the office of the Ethiopian Prime Minister, Belin Sayoum, told Reuters that Ethiopia dismissed the possibility of Sudan mediating in the conflict in the Tigray region. Sudan and Egypt have openly opposed a decision by Ethiopia to fill its Grand Renaissance Dam. The U.S. intelligence community is expected to send a report to President Joe Biden later this month examining the two leading theories on the origins of COVID-19. One claims that the virus was accidentally released from a lab. The other, that it emerged from human contact with an infected animal. VOA's Jesus Man Oni reports from Washington.
Nearly 18 months into the COVID-19 global pandemic, questions remain over the origins of the virus. The U.S. intelligence community has said it does not know exactly where, when, or how the virus was first transmitted. And just this past June, the top U.S. intelligence official warned intelligence agencies may never find a so-called smoking gun. But the issue has become a potent political topic in Congress. Most Democrats are waiting on the intelligence findings, but Republicans this month released a report advocating another theory on COVID's origins, one already rejected by U.S. intelligence officials, claiming there is paper trail that shows China's Wuhan Institute of Virology was involved with dangerous research, manipulating the virus's genetic code.
We said it was a possibility. Now I believe there's a preponderance of evidence that it did. It was manufactured in the lab and it leaked, most likely accidentally.
Republican Representative Michael McCaul told VOA's Mandarin service the Chinese government is withholding important data on possible early infections in September 2019.
Well, I think the WHO was very ineffective in warning the world about a global pandemic. They've been very ineffective in investigating this. At the end of the day, the answer from top scientists are sitting in the archives of the Wuhan lab itself that the PRC will not release publicly.
Yet, while there is frustration with the way China has answered questions about the outbreak, the leading theory among many scientists is that the virus did in fact originate from a natural source. Virologist Dr. Ben Newman, who has studied coronaviruses for 25 years.
It looks a lot like all the other bat viruses that are out there, and there aren't any specific features you could find on this virus that you can't find on several more coronaviruses.
President Joe Biden in May gave the U.S. intelligence community 90 days to provide an in-depth assessment of the coronavirus origins.
The president asked the intelligence community to redouble their efforts to collect and analyze information that could bring us closer to a definitive conclusion.
Beijing has resisted prior international efforts to investigate the virus's origins, and in July rejected a bid by the World Health Organization to conduct a second phase of investigations in Wuhan. China also dismissed the lab leak theory as defying science.
In order to shift its responsibility in poor COVID-19 response and out of the political motive of smearing and suppressing others, U.S. has been busy with the politicization, stigmatization, and turning always tracing study into its tool.
Experts say it's critical to find the origin of a virus that has so far killed more than 4 million people worldwide.
It's like finding a leak in the dam and then, you know, you can plug it and then you no longer have the leak, basically. And we do not know where that is or how imminent the danger is, whether this thing is really close or far away, whether there are lots of different variants of this thing or whether it was a one-time thing.
The U.S. intelligence community has said there is no available evidence that the virus was man-made or genetically modified. Jason Samelny, VOA News, Washington.
Still on COVID, the Russian government's COVID-19 vaccine diplomacy with its Sputnik V vaccine has run into problems. Daria Dygatz has the story.
Soon after signing an agreement with the Russian government to receive the Sputnik V vaccine, the country of Guatemala received 550,000 doses. It ordered 8 million. So the Guatemalan government canceled the vaccine orders from Russia to buy doses made by Moderna, Pfizer, and Johnson & Johnson. Brazil stopped buying the Sputnik V, saying its health regulator Anvisa rejected the vaccine. Officials in Argentina say the country never received millions of Sputnik doses. And on top of delivery issues, Richard Reitinger from the Research Triangle Institute says the fact that the two doses of the vaccine are very different further complicates the vaccination process.
What the Sputnik V vaccine is that it uses two different adenoviruses for the first shot and then the booster shot 21 days later. And essentially, that means you have to produce two separate vaccines. You will have to have two different production processes, two different teams of people that produce it, and of course, very stringent quality control steps to make sure that the two are separated.
Part of the problem, experts say, is Russia's refusal to operate within the international systems that have been set up to fight COVID.
Russia has not been transparent with how it's negotiating delivery of these vaccines. So it's not operating through COVAX, the World Health Organization is doing it bilaterally, country by country, and we have no idea, you know, what the arrangements or contracts or payments are for the system. And now Russia is not even able to deliver what it said it was going to deliver. So, you know, I think it's been a fiasco from start to finish. You know, let me say, Russian science is extraordinarily good. I want to see this vaccine succeed. But the government and the governance of this vaccine has been lacking.
A new wave of COVID-19 in Russia has also affected the deliveries. To help solve the problem, Russia has signed a contract with the Serum Institute of India, one of the world's largest vaccine producers. But officials at the institute cannot begin producing Sputnik V until September at the earliest.
You know, it's a disaster for these countries. You know, you have to put yourself in the position of a low-income country where your people are dying, where the coronavirus, and particularly with the Delta variant, it's spreading like wildfire. Their economies are going bust. Their hospitals are overfull and stretched beyond capacity. And so they're clutching for any lifeline. The Russian Sputnik vaccine was supposed to be the lifeline. Now they can't even get that.
A Kremlin spokesperson insists that all the foreign contracts will be fulfilled, but they have yet to release exact dates for vaccine delivery. But in many cases, the fight against COVID is a race against time, and time to wait for a vaccine is something many countries don't have. Daria Digus for VOA News, Washington.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA Health Correspondent Linor Moudou. The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
During this pandemic, the World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say if you have a fever, a cough, or have trouble breathing, you should stay at home and contact a healthcare facility. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest health news.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
That's all we prepared for you this Monday. Let us know what you think about this show. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. We now leave you with Kiledi Muzika with the song Maengo Choma. We've been listening to Kiledi Muzika and the song Maengo Choma, which literally means I'm alone. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for being part of our evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.